You're listening to Vatican Radio.
The British people have decided to exit the European Union after voting in a historic referendum that saw 52% of the population vote to leave. British Prime Minister David Cameron announced he had decided to step down, saying the country needs fresh leadership following the results of the referendum. Vatican Radio's Georgia Gogarty spoke to Dr. Brian Klass, a fellow in comparative politics at the London School of Economics, to gauge the reaction of the British public and where the country goes from here.
So first of all, I just wanted to ask, what's the current feeling in Britain at the moment? How have people reacted to the vote?
I think we woke up this morning in the United Kingdom as a divided kingdom, and that's the biggest takeaway from this vote, is that even though the vote to leave won ultimately, 16 million people or 48% of the population didn't get what they wanted this morning. And they feel very passionately about this. If the vote had gone the other way, it would have been 16 million pro-Brexit people that felt very disillusioned with the process and very disillusioned with the outcome. So I think the overall mentality here is one of uncertainty and risk, but also one of division that needs to be healed if the country is going to move forward.
And how do we move forward? A country divided, how do we move forward from it? What do you think are the steps that need to be taken?
So Prime Minister David Cameron has outlined what he plans to do next, and he's planning to resign come October in order to have a replacement within the Conservative Party steer Britain's ship through Brexit. And this will be the person who ends up negotiating the terms of the divorce between Britain and the European Union. Ultimately, we need somebody, I think, in the UK who's going to take these divides and put a lot of the vitriol and rhetoric aside and find something that's best for the country. Because there are a lot of risks, and the economy today is in free fall in large parts of the world. We saw the Nikkei index in Asia drop 7 or 8% on news of Brexit. The FTSE 100, the London Stock Exchange, opened up 9% down, I believe, and now is stabilized around 5%. And the pound is lower than it's been since 1985, back when, you know, Gorbachev was in power and Madonna was on top of the charts. So this is a historic moment for Britain. And if there's not somebody who rises above the fray to show a new path forward, I think that the risks of Brexit could be substantial.
Something that's really struck me is that 75% of 18 to 25-year-olds wanted to remain. They voted to remain in the EU. And they're the ones who are going to have to deal with the outcomes of this vote. What do you think the effects of that are going to be?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The over 65 population overwhelmingly supported Brexit and departing from the European Union, and young people overwhelmingly supported staying as part of it. This has divided families in addition to dividing the country, because you have a lot of parents who have gotten what they wanted today, and their kids are, you know, in despair over the outcome that they're going to have to live with for decades, and for much longer than the parents who have ended up, you know, ultimately sowing the seeds of Brexit in the vote yesterday. So I think that there's the generational divide is hugely important. But the other divide that doesn't get talked about quite as much is also a class divide. And this is in large part a working class revolt against the status quo. And the interesting thing about this, and sort of the sad and bittersweet aspect, even for Leave, you know, people who would be celebrating the Leave campaign today, is that poorer people who are lower down the economic ladder, are the ones who probably will get most affected negatively by Brexit, and they're the ones who voted for it.
In your opinion, where do we go from here? How does Britain move on as a country? Because there's talk of Scotland offering another referendum on independence. The country is very divided. So in your opinion, where do we go from here? What are the fundamental next steps to take to reunite the country?
Sure. So from a purely logistical perspective, we should expect that when the October resignation happens of David Cameron, there will be an invocation of Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty, which is basically the two-year window at which the terms of the divorce are negotiated. But in a bigger picture, this you're absolutely right. There's a risk of Scotland asking for a second referendum, and First Minister Nicola Sturgeon hinted at precisely that, because Scotland overwhelmingly voted as to stay part of the European Union, and they may be dragged kicking and screaming out of it. But Northern Ireland is also talking about commissioning a poll to see if there's any support for unification with the Republic of Ireland. So there's volatility on not just within Europe, but also within the United Kingdom. In terms of the next steps, I think that people are going to take a deep breath, hope that the reaction from the markets stabilizes in the coming days and weeks, and try to plot a path forward. But the catch-22 that Britain finds itself in is that a lot of this vote was about migration and immigration. And the problem is that to curb immigration, Britain would basically have to remove itself from the single market, the access to free trade with the European Union. And to do that would be a huge economic hit. So either the voters who voted against the levels of migration that currently are being seen in the UK are going to be disappointed, or the economics are going to be very bad for Britain. It's sort of one or the other. You can't have your cake and eat it too, and curb migration and also have economic robustness. So I think ultimately the uncertainty that we'll see, that we do see today, will continue for the short term and potentially have ripple effects into the medium and longer term.
And just finally, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Ultimately, this is a vote, though, that has ramifications not just for Britain but for the globe. And I think there's parallels with other trends of populism around the globe. So there's a lot to be seen in the Brexit vote that is also seen in the rise of Donald Trump, for example, in the United States. There are people who are dislocated by globalization, who feel like they're the economic losers of a great moment of fear around the world and a great moment of uncertainty with economic costs around the world. They feel like they've been left behind, and they feel like the culprit for their victimization is a shadowy government or a bureaucratic government in Brussels or in Washington in the case of Trump. The problem, in my view, is that the response to this has been to turn inward. And I don't think that it's going to be particularly productive to try to solve problems by either pretending they don't exist or by trying to build walls or remove nations from international cooperation in the form of organizations like the European Union. I think ultimately problems can be dealt with globally much more effectively through cooperation. And I think that unfortunately we're going to see a bit more isolationism with this blend of muscular right-wing populism that conjured up the vote in the first place to leave the European Union.
That was Dr. Brian Klass, a fellow in comparative politics at the London School of Economics, speaking there to Georgia Gogarty.